97.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. We're not supposed to covet, but I do covet this man's job. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Lieutenant Governor, good morning.
Good morning, my friends. How y'all doing?
We are doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Government shutdown last night. What does that mean for Louisiana?
That is a good question, because we've never been through this. At least I haven't. It's those people out of jobs won't be traveling. National parks being closed. Does that mean we'll get more visitors deciding to come to the state parks? I guess that all depends on how long it stays shut down, if it has an impact on those things or not. It's hard to tell.
We only have five or six national parks in the state, correct?
We've got a couple. We've got 21 state parks. We've got, I think, national park grounds?
Okay.
It's not like, the large national parks that draw millions every year. So I don't think that really affects our tourism numbers much at all. We get many more visitors at our state parks.
For our area, it would be Poverty Point and Kissatchee. Those are the two federal parks in our area, correct?
Yeah. Well, okay. The park is the historical site we run. The national part of it is the feds, you're right.
We had another murder of a tourist on Bourbon Street over the weekend. I think at least three people may have been arrested. When you hear these, you have just got to cringe, I imagine.
I do, because the negative stories spread more than the positive ones. And especially when it's from someone out of town, their family, their friends back home, it makes news more than once, and it just makes people fearful of coming.
The governor was on Fox News just recently, and he has made a request to President Trump and the War Department to bring National Guard troops starting in New Orleans. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't want to undermine the governor's efforts. The troop NOLA has done an incredible job at really making the quarter safer with the state police. If it was my decision, I'd say ask the federal government to give us some additional money to beef up the local police force, the state police, as a long-term solution to solving crime. We've got to, I believe, change some level to keep many of these criminals behind bars. Many of the people committing the crimes are repeat offenders, not once or twice, but one or two dozen times. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the records of these people that are arrested for serious crimes, they should already have been behind bars. But, the governor has the authority to call out the National Guard on his own. He doesn't need the president to do that. And I'd much rather see local National Guard on the streets than people from out of town. So we'll see. I know when we were in Canada, there were talks about, why is the army going into the cities? Is it that unsafe? So it does have some effect. How much? We really don't know. If it makes people feel safer because they're there or fearful because they're needed. Once again, we've never dealt with this before.
Now, our mayor just told us, and he was given an award by you guys during a recent Keep Louisiana Beautiful. He says he may opt early part of the discussions to use these National Guard troops to continue his block by block initiative and help with blight and picking up trash and that sort of thing, rather than actually on the streets fighting crime. That sounds like a pretty decent idea.
I tell you, your mayor, since meeting with him early on, his passion for cleaning up the city and making it more attractive, I hope it catches on in other cities around the state, because that's a great idea. You hate to see people standing by, but any initiatives, he's really been asking what else can he do to clean up Shreveport-Bossier, and I applaud him for that. He's one of the leaders against litter that has really stepped up to the plate. And really, it's going to take those kind of leaders to put an end to litter, which is a big impact on not only our quality of life, but tourism around the state. And it's become a movement. But that's a great idea. Maybe other cities where the National Guard are deployed will help with that as well.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, you mentioned your trip to Canada. How did that go? Are they still offended by the 51st state comments and jokes that were going on earlier?
I was surprised how much it has affected their views or their anger towards our president. You know, we met with hundreds of travel agents in each city at a dinner. We brought partners from all over the state. Shreveport Bossier was there. And talk to them about all the great things to do and see here. And the message was pretty clear. We love Louisiana, but we're not coming back until either this guy's out of office or he apologizes. And many of the travel agents and even some of the bloggers and even the airlines said, look, you know, we had to pull down our marketing stuff and advertising trips to America because of the backlash from the citizens. So... And the other thing I didn't realize is Canadians book trips way out, year, sometimes further. You know, we've seen about a 30% drop in Canadian visitors in Louisiana. It's going to get a lot worse if something doesn't change, because many of those people had already booked trips and they weren't going to lose their deposits. So I haven't found one travel agent up there in three cities we visited We're planning on sending groups to Louisiana. And we also serve, as we took the train to those three cities, we served Tabasco ice cream in the train station to individuals. They were very friendly, but there again, the comments about thinking that they would become a 51st state rang loud to all the people across Canada. And, you can say what you want, but, you know, imagine someone saying they were going to take America and make it part of their country. Mm. It soured the relations.
Right.
And
could you reach out?
Time.
We know Mike Johnson has the president's ear. I mean, could you possibly reach out to the Speaker of the House and say, look, this has really affected tourism in Louisiana? Could you say something to President Trump? Not that I don't think he's a big apologizer.
Yeah, listen, I've actually started putting together the data of how it's affected Louisiana, but also the whole country. You know, in July, there was a 32.5% drop in travelers from Canada to the whole U.S. That's about 2.5 million trips. So it's a big effect across the country. So I'm going to send that to our congressional delegation, and I'm also going to send it to the other lieutenant governors because it's affecting their states. I believe Las Vegas is down 50% from Canadian visitors.
Wow.
And so it's going to be a hit, and especially in states like Louisiana, where our tourism dollars are so important. You know, it's and the Canadians stay longer, and they spend more money, and they don't just go to New Orleans. A lot of them are bus tours and road trips where they go to four, five, six cities in Louisiana, and those smaller cities are going to be hit hardest because they go, they stay longer, and they spend more money.
And they may come to things like our Red River Revel, which is going on now. We have our state fair coming up. These are two of the biggest events in Northwest Louisiana right here within a month. Draws a lot of people to Northwest Louisiana, correct?
It really does. And, you know, we started marketing through social media for those events out four and five states in the drive market to get people to drive to come spend the weekend, spend a few days to those events. And we've been getting great success in getting the drive market to really up the numbers at many of our fairs and festivals just through our state's team that does the social media marketing. And they can target market based on what bands they're going to have, what kind of events they're hosting, art and things like that, and really target the people that have an interest. And we continue to grow that, and it's really helping those local fairs and festivals book up their hotel rooms and get more people in the town.
Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Always. Y'all have a great day.
You bet.
You too, sir. Thank you. Coming up here in about 20 minutes or so, Bill Cassidy, U.S. Senator, going to be joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline talking about this government shutdown. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back stories of the day with Micah McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
97 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to discuss the mayor's proposal yet or not. I have to kind of gird my loins. I'm struggling with this.
I'm kind of with you on this, though. I'm not thrilled, and I support Mayor Arsenault.
Yes, I'm going to tell you, there's great things with this proposal, and there's bad things. He presented his budget, which he has to do by October 1. The council has to approve it by December, blah, blah, that date. And I was looking over it, and we've got increased revenues, which is a good thing. Things are looking good. His priorities are crime fighting and blight. But he's got in this budget a 2% surcharge on your water bill if you live in Shreveport.
Okay.
2% increase in your water bill to pay for blight initiatives. Okay. That's a tax increase. Let's all acknowledge what it is. You're going to pay more money on your water bill to pay for blight. My problem is, why do I have to pay because you're a screw up? And you don't take care of your personal private property. That's something conservatives are going to rail him over. And to propose that heading into an election year, here's the good part. Let you know he's not a politician. He's not doing this because he's a politician. He's doing it because he thinks that's what Shreveport needs. He believes in it. He's willing to put his political career on the line for it. So there's good to it and there's bad to it. The bad to it to me is it's just not a really good conservative principle to make all of us pay for the screw-ups. I don't like that.
No. But, Aaron, the government has a long history of that very thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm
not necessarily local government, though.
No, not local government.
So this is local government deciding that I need to pay more because my neighbor... Or whoever, or your neighbor. I might not even have it in my neighborhood.
I do in mine.
But you know, the folks in Southeast Shreveport will say, we don't have blight concerns. Why are we all of a sudden having to pay for blight in Highland or Cedar Grove or wherever it is? Now, I know we all like the city to look good. And the mayor will say that. He'll say, this helps us all if we don't have blight. If we eliminate blight, it helps our city as a whole. Which I understand that, too.
So what about fining the property owners?
Oh, we have all that on the books. We can do all that.
Well, why aren't
we?
Why aren't we do that? Well, then take the property and sell it.
City don't want to be in the real estate business of junk housing.
Well, I don't want to be in the business of paying for somebody else's screw-ups.
That's the problem.
There are other alternatives.
What do you do about it? Do you hire a company that will now liquidate the property for you and go after them with, you know, everything you can?
That would be my first initiative.
Hit them with the big stick?
Yes.
And take their property and seize it? There's a lot of court mess over that and a lot of legal fees you're going to have to pay for that and a lot of involvement. Whereas if you have the money, you can go in and fix it. Now, I don't know what he's going to use it for in terms of, are you actually going to be fixing up people's houses or is this going to be used to cut the grass?
Better not be.
Because if it's going to be fixing up people's houses, I'll let mine go.
Yeah,
Come in, I'll let mine go to blight and you can come in and fix it for me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I mean, if the city goes in and hauls off tires and water heaters laying in somebody's yard, that's one thing. But if you start repairing houses or no. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Now, he's in next week for an hour, and we will get to grill him about it. I mean, I have a lot of concerns about this. Now, will he get it's got to pass before the council. Will the council pass it? Raising taxes, right, heading into an election year? They're going to have to look at their constituents in the eye and go, yeah, we voted to raise your water bill in an election year. We'll see who the politicians are and who they aren't. You know what I mean? Because there are going to be some that are going to go, hey, I'm running for another office. I'm running for re-election.
Right.
I ain't voting to increase folks' water bill in an election year. So I saw that last night and I went, yowza, Yowza, yowza.
We'll find out. And that's interesting. We'll have him on next week is Ask the Mayor.
You bet.
So we'll get some answers on that. Mm-hmm. Bill Cassidy joined us yesterday talking about the government shutdown here. What he's got to say after the local news here in about 10 minutes. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Government shutdown reaching all the way down to Louisiana. Senator Bill Cassidy joins us after the break, tells us how it's going to affect you. Next, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel. Be sure to download the free Keel app.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, welcome Senator Bill Cassidy. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, good morning. How are the two of you?
We're doing very well, thank you.
We're open.
We're open for business this morning. Absolutely. Of course, government shutdown. Democrats did not get their way, so they picked up their ball and went home. How is that going to affect us in Louisiana, though?
Yeah, it's going to affect us somewhat. For example, the Barksdale, the airmen, airwomen, et cetera, get paid. Now, they'll still be there. They're still working. They're dedicated. They took their constitutional oath. But until we end this, they will not get paid. And your TSA workers, they'll be on the job, but they won't get paid. Now, we can imagine some of those airmen, airwomen, would like to get paid. Maybe they live month to month. For other people, you're going to your Social Security office to get a passport, a Medicare office, and the phone won't be picked up. The appointment will be delayed. Lastly, I'll say, just because I went up there in 2016 during the flooding, there are some folks to get a federally backed mortgage need to have flood insurance. We cannot. That program expired until we pass the continuing resolution to be able to get to close on their houses. No, an inconvenience. It can be rescheduled. But people put their life on hold for these sorts of things. So it's going to affect.
But those airmen
folks will live,
and those TSA employees will get back pay.
They will get back pay. But, you know, you look at it, it's pretty amazing right now, man. There's a story out there that's not fully being told, which is that middle class America is taking it on the chin. And like some 50% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. And so if this goes on too long and a paycheck is disrupted, I'm hoping not, but if it is, then you're really talking about some people who will be in a bind.
So what now? The longest one we had was, I think, 38 days or something like that. What has to happen now, and what's the timetable?
Chuck Schumer has to be reassured that his pocket okay for us to get out of this. You know, the subtext of this is that the far left fringe wants Schumer to oppose anything that Republicans or President right. Trump puts up.
He's scared to death of AOC.
Scared to death of AOC. And so he's got to show that, oh, my gosh, I'm part of the resistance. As soon as the price he pays politically for shutting down the government is greater than the price he pays for not being part of the resistance, the government will reopen.
Now, folks will still get their Social Security checks and their Medicaid payments, et cetera. But can I go to the Social Security office, or will it be closed?
That are non-essential workers, and that will be closed. Now, there might be somebody who's there who's essential, but services are going to be sharply curtailed. And so it's going to be the essential workers that are kept. You got a trip planned to a national forest, it's going to be a skeleton crew, and in some places they'll close down all the amenities, that sort of thing. So non-essential workers, who, if you're on a vacation to a national park, are pretty essential. Nonetheless, they'll be sent to them.
Rush Limbaugh used to say, "Shut the government down. Go ahead. They can't waste any more of our money, and it's a good thing." You buy into that at all?
There is a way to downsize government, absolutely. But you know, if you put up a chart. Say you're going to downsize that, whatever. And you put up a chart, you say, okay, what responsibilities does this person have? We're going to eliminate that position, but somebody needs to cover those responsibilities. I think government needs to be downsized. Absolutely.
but you need to do it rationally. And sending everybody home without pay, you'll give them back pay, but the work's not getting done. And by the way, which ends up costing the taxpayer more, is just not the rational way to do it. And you certainly don't do it because Chuck Schumer has got to prove to the radical left that, by golly, he's part of the resistance, and so therefore we have a Schumer shutdown. That is not the way to do it.
Well, President Trump has also said, you know what? Shut it down. These non-essential personnel, a lot of them aren't going to come back now. We're going to clean house of non-essential personnel, and there's going to be massive layoffs.
I'd be interested in that. By the way, Doge already did that. So I haven't seen President Trump's quote. I haven't seen that. And it may just be part of his pressure campaign upon Schumer, because a lot of federal employees are part of public service unions and they contribute heavily to Democratic causes. And so if you put pressure on the unions, they're going to put pressure on Schumer to end the Schumer shutdown. President Trump is very good, extremely good, at putting, at figuring out how to use his rhetoric to pressure the opposition. And this may be part of that campaign.
He ought to write a book about the deal.
Now the House,
maybe the art of the deal.
Yeah, maybe so.
The House got the job done. The Senate is ground zero. When do we next meet over this? When do we have meetings? When do we have another vote? What are they telling you?
There's a vote today, isn't there?
There'll be some votes today, and will we kind of repeat this? But let me point out, Schumer said this last night. When Biden was president, on 13 occasions, they continued the current budget for a little bit of time to allow more negotiations. That's what Mike Johnson and the House of Representatives has done. Let's continue the current budget for 7 weeks to have some more negotiations. Instead, Schumer's like a child stamping his foot up and down saying, no, I want $1.5 trillion in more spending today. I want to restore funding for transgender surgery for minors today. I want to get rid of $50 billion for rural health care today. And if not, we're going to shut the government down. So I think Johnson and the House Republicans have sent the Senate Republicans a pretty good deal. And all we ask is, just like Republicans supported Democrats when they extended the budget 13 times, they support us allowing more time for negotiation. Let's work out differences.
Senator, can I be honest with you, please?
Sure. Please.
I'm so tired of these ongoing fights, which during the process, nothing's getting done to fix our highways, to make our country better, to do things that Americans want done. It's really frustrating watching this circus. And I know you're in the center ring, and you have to be screaming yourself, but for the average American folks, they're like, can y'all please get your together?
I am so with you on that. By the way, I'm sitting here thinking the untold story is that middle class America right now is taking it on the chin. They're paying, they talk about inflation being 2.85%.
Yes.
No, wait a second. If you talk about groceries, I mean, ground beef is over $6 a pound.
Our electric bills.
If you talk about health insurance,
yes,
we're going to have a 20% increase in premiums. If you talk about property and casualty and flood insurance,
mm-hmm.
If you just look at that, that inflation rate is going to be 10%. Coffee, it's incredible. So Congress needs to get its act together, move beyond the Schumer shutdown, and actually work on those problems to reduce the cost of health care, for example. We got to do that. We have to do that. The middle class is taking it on the chin. We're here to serve our American people.
We got some good news on the medical front yesterday from Pfizer, it looks like. They're going to now charge us what their
favored nation status.
Yes, which is really, I know you've been pushing for that. The president's been pushing for that. Do you anticipate the other companies will follow suit?
They will, but that's principally for Medicaid.
Okay.
Now, that's not going to affect me, you, the three of us, or the people listening, unless they happen to be on Medicaid. But there are ways to lower the cost of prescription drugs. One example, we had a bill, there's something called PBMs. The state legislature's been going after it. Middlemen who kind of elevate the cost of a drug cost more than the value they bring to the transaction. We have legislation that would decrease the amount, and their employees are paying for drugs because of middlemen, while protecting small pharmacists that kind of are interfacing with the public. We have a bill for that. We can pass that. That's what we should be working on instead of the Schumer shutdown.
Senator, thank you so much. We Did you have a question?
No, I'm good. Senator, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you all.
Thank you so much, Senator Bill Cassidy, Mike and McCarty. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, you mentioned the most banned author, Stephen King.
Yeah, in schools, yeah.
Okay. Let me... I'm not real familiar with this story,
mm-hmm.
but I want to ask. This is banned. I use parenthetically because it's inappropriate for children. Is that right?
Yeah, probably. That's the major reason books are banned from schools. It's because they're not appropriate for children. Yeah, and they get them out of the libraries. Okay.
So he's a horror author,
mm-hmm.
probably one of the most prolific authors of our time.
Mm-hmm.
Of the modern age. I can understand, okay, something not being appropriate for children.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. But yet we'll let sprinkle fairy drag queens read... I love men's body parts to little children in story time in third grade.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this inconsistency is what I'm saying.
Right. I get you. I understand. I didn't know how many schools were banning books. There's about 6,800 or something like that that are banned. And most of the banning's been done in Florida and Texas and Tennessee. Where they've decided these books are not appropriate for children and we're going to move them out. So
but see, is that when you, but to me, even the phrase banning books, that sounds like an inflammatory phrase by saying it's inappropriate for children.
Right, exactly.
It's not, we're banning books. They're we're burning just, these out in the yard.
Yeah, and they probably didn't even order them anyway. I mean, they're just probably never were put on the shelves to begin with.
Right.
Or if they were, they've decided, hey, we need to remove this. So I don't
because
know.
Because I am not for banning books.
No.
I'm not for saying you don't have the right. But that applies to adults who have the right to partake in any legal activity.
But as
that
a parent, I want to know what my kids are reading and what they have access to.
And so when you go and say, well, they're banning books. Well, no, they're trying to select appropriate material for children.
Mm-hmm. And that's
a difference.
It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. And folks don't realize that. They just hear banning books and they're freak out. It's what's okay for kids.
And while you're allowing little Miss Mary Sprinkles to read books to third graders,
mm-hmm.
Men, don't talk to me about what's inappropriate for children.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
It doesn't compute, if you
right.
will.
Right. I get you.
Earlier this morning, you talked about a 2% blight fee on the water bill that Mayor Arsenault is proposing.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a good idea?
Yeah.
Co-host of American Ground Radio, Louis R. Avalone.
He's going to join us coming up after 7. And you can sound off on the Keel Facebook page. What do you think about the fee?
All right.
There's a question on our Keel Facebook page. What do you think? Do you like it? You not like it? You for it or you again it?
Who's going to like raising taxes?
Please, give me some more taxes.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. One oh one seven FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Mayor Tom Arsenault proposing a 2% increase on Shreveport water bills to help fight blight in the city. Good idea, or is this maybe not such a good idea? Louis R. Avalone, co-host of American Ground Radio, joining us. Louis, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning to both of you.
So is, I mean, we're going into an election year. Is this a good idea for the mayor to propose a tax increase to, as Aaron put it, she doesn't like this. She doesn't want to fight for some pay for somebody else that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, no, I agree with Aaron completely. And, you know, as conservatives, as Republicans, of course, that's not the core of who we are, to support tax increases or giving government more of our money, because generally they spend it like drunken sailors. But this 2% blight surcharge, you know, first of all, it's for a limited term. It's for 18 months. And blight is one of those issues that it spreads like a disease if you don't cut it out. It reduces property values by as much as 10 to 20%, and that's according to a study by the National Association of Realtors. Crime also increases, and that's from a study from the University of Pennsylvania, that when you demolish abandoned buildings and dwellings, gun violence drops by nearly 40% in those neighborhoods. And so you want to talk about a hidden tax. I mean, 2%, you know, obviously that's $2 on every $100 of water bill.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a pittance when you look at the overall cascading effect that blight continues to have. And while I'm certainly not in favor of more taxes, I think Mayor Arsenault is leading on this issue, perhaps more so than any mayor in recent history.
But has there ever been a temporary tax? Louis, once they get it going, they're going to renew it. There's never a temporary tax.
Well, and that's certainly the concern. But there are instances where some municipalities, Lafayette, for example, when they went to renovate their airport, it was a limited 9-month tax to fund that renovation of their airport. And at the end of 9 months, it ended. And so to the extent that this is a limited duration for 18 months, and while I'm not in favor of certainly giving the city any more of our money, and this doesn't say that the city is using all of our monies wisely right now, but at the same time, we have to address this issue. It's more than just an aesthetic issue.
Oh, Louis, you need a spanking.
No, I don't disagree with you.
Louis R. Avalone, if this was Adrian Perkins proposing this, you would be leading the charge against it, and you and I both know that.
I don't know that I would. I think that...
Louis!
I know, but look, I believe that Mayor Arsenault has done, and the city council, I believe they have done their due diligence in terms of trying to cut back on city spending. I also know that we have a revenue shortfall right now. And so, you know, with respect to sales tax revenues not meeting the projections, and there's a variety of reasons for that, and I believe the mayor has already addressed that. But I hear what you're saying. But look, this isn't a left or right issue. I mean, leave the airport. When folks come in from the airport and they drive downtown, down I-20.
Or just coming onto Monkhouse.
Or just coming onto Monkhouse, which, you know, there's a beautification project that the city is undertaking there, which, you know, I'm certainly very grateful for that. But as you drive down I-20, you drive down these neighborhood streets and you see these abandoned buildings, it's not just something that is aesthetically unpleasing for the folks who live here every day, but business people and investors that travel to our community to say, you know, is this a place where we might be able to grow or invest? Yeah. Or unless we take care of this, they're just going to keep on driving.
Okay,
no, you've made some good points.
I want to talk politics with you. For a politician to propose a tax increase headed into an election year makes it sound like it's good for me for Tom Arsenault, to be quite honest, because it's like he's doing this for the right reasons. No politician in their right mind as a politician would ever propose such an increase heading into an election year.
My headphones down.
I'm sorry, I'm screaming. You follow me? So I'm like,
absolutely.
Do you think he gets the support of any council members who are also headed into an election year?
You know, I think so. Maybe we need to stop electing politicians, and we need to start electing leaders and managers who can identify what the problem is.
But when you do that, they get shot at.
Well, God forbid, you know, certainly. But, you know, you need folks that are willing to propose or to make the hard decisions that may not be politically popular. And again, this is coming from someone, obviously, very conservative, and we fight tax increases tooth and nail. But once in a blue moon, you come across a situation where the alternative costs more than the political cost. And this is one of those situations.
Yeah.
I agree. You see, you've convinced me. I agree.
I'm still on the fence there, old Lewis. I still think you might need a spanking, but we'll see.
Well, I tell you what, Aaron, I will pay your 2%. I know you can, but if it makes you feel any better.
She just lit up like a Christmas tree.
Okay, I'm all for it now. I'm all for it. Somebody else is going to pay for me. I love it when other people pay for other people's bills. I love that.
Okay, let me.
Problem solved.
What's, Lewis, you've obviously done some research on this. What's the average water bill in Shreveport? Do you have that?
Oh, goodness. I know mine is too high.
Mine's $3,000, so, Lewis. Get ready.
She's emptying and filling her pool every night. She's going to clean it out and refill it every day.
And look, I know there's folks out there on fixed incomes, a lot of retired folks that, you know, they don't have this in their budget.
Yep.
And certainly the city already has a procedure for exemptions and for hardship cases. And certainly there will still be those even with this 2%. But I think for most of those in Shreveport who want to invest, they realize this 2% is a pittance if compared to not rooting out, not cutting out this blight that has persisted for so long.
All right, we've got the mayor lined up. He's agreed to come on and talk about it, so we'll have him coming up in the next 20 minutes or so.
Fair enough.
All right.
I love it. I love it. Lewis, thank you. Talk to you soon.
Likewise.
Take care.
All right, Mike and McCarty, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, joining us here in about 20 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
See, I don't like these fantasy arguments of if, then you would be.
Yeah.
I don't project what I'm going to say or do based on things that haven't happened.
But we know if a Democratic mayor, I don't care if it was Adrian Perkins,
necessarily
was
true,
proposing
though.
This, that any conservatives would support this. And what we're talking about, if you're just
because
joining
us, then you're saying I'm no better than the Democrats who oppose Trump simply because he says something. And I resent that argument.
Well, what we're talking about is Mayor Tom Arsenault's proposed a 2% fee on your water bill to pay for blight, to pay for demolishing really severely blighted properties.
An 18-month fee.
That's what it says.
A proposed 18-month fee. Now, mm-hmm. my concern is there's never been a temporary tax increase.
Well, there's another what if you're saying.
Well, that's not a what if.
You're throwing no, it's going off the books in 18
months. No, that's
different.
That's a different argument. No, that's a different argument. I'm not saying, but if it was temporary, then you would be saying. I'm saying taxes aren't temporary.
They rarely are. They almost always get left on the books and they become permanent. But you have to know that if this was coming from the four council members proposed this to the mayor and said, Mayor Arsenault, we think we need to add a 2% surcharge on our water bills to pay for tearing down properties. The conservatives among us and would be up. You would be screaming bloody murder.
Okay, no.
If Tabitha Taylor proposed this, you would be screaming bloody murder.
Don't put that. No, do not put that on me. Then you're calling me the same thing as Chuck Schumer, who opposes. Donald Trump could say, I've cured cancer. Here it is. I've cured cancer. Schumer would poop on it.
I'm going to take that to my grave. Here's the shoe. See if it fits.
Well, you can say that all you want. I can say I resent that argument.
All right. We're going to put on boxing gloves here
now,
in a minute.
But you did bring up a point. You did bring up a point. Okay. You just said a 2% tax to tear down properties. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or is it to...
It's to demolish.
Simply to demolish.
To demolish the folks that have... places that have been abandoned and are becoming a danger.
Because I got a message from a friend that said, I would be for the blight tax if I knew how it was going to be spent. I worry it will be misspent or not spent on things that actually matter.
What it looks like the mayor's focusing on is demolishing properties. He's going to tell us in about 10 minutes what his plan is... why he thinks I should pay because your property's blighted. Why do I have to pay because you're a problem? And he's used the word, Shreveport's got a lot of pigs. Why do I have to pay for the pigs?
Well, see, I don't want us to start tearing down more buildings downtown. That's not the answer.
Well, I don't think downtown's...
Is it just residential neighborhoods?
We'll ask him. I don't think the focus is downtown. Now, we'll ask, could some of these be downtown that we tear down? Now, you can't go in and tear down historic properties. That's just not something you can do. You have to jump through all kinds of legal...
But a property doesn't have to be labeled as historic to be valuable or possible something nice in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be pretty much residential areas in our neighborhoods, I would bet. But we got to hear from him.
See, that I don't have a problem with. Because
paying for it? Why am I paying because you didn't take care of your property?
Why am I paying to feed babies that I don't have?
Thank you. Get on the train with me, pal.
Well, I'm saying the government has a long history.
I'm not so sure city government. I'm not sure city government has.
That I have no responsibility for.
Get the boxing gloves out. Get them out. I'm going to take him down in the lobby. Who's taking bets?
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I kick your ass.
Mayor Tom Arsenault in about 10 minutes. Yeah, you would. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay. See, we got great listeners.
Yeah.
We got some... the message board has lit up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is absolutely right. This is absolutely right. Edward from Oil City, this is one. Aaron makes a valid point, almost. If Perkins was making this proposal, we would all be against it. But not because of partisanship. It's a matter of trust.
Right, I agree.
Lewis trusts this administration. No one trusted the Perkins administration.
I got a text myself. It says, Aaron, you're 100% correct.
Jerry says, look, Miss Aaron, you have to look at performance. And so far, the current mayor is to be trusted based on performance. The past mayor could talk the talk, but could not walk the walk.
And I'm going to tell you, I said this earlier this morning, the reason that I am semi-willing to at least listen to the argument is that no politician proposes a tax increase heading into an election year. So it tells me his heart's in the right place.
Right.
He wants to do what's best for the city. Otherwise, he'd wait. If he gets reelected, then you propose it. He's proposing it heading into an election year.
Because he thinks this is best for the city.
Right.
And based on what Lewis said, I agree. Because blight costs us more in the long run.
I understand that. I still don't like to pay actions because you're a pig.
I agree.
And that bothers me.
And that goes, again, that goes back to, I don't want to buy your Fantas and your Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
When you're, you know, they're not my kids.
Right. I understand. That's not city government doing that, though. This is city government now saying
government.
They want some of
it's
my money.
Government.
Yeah, I know.
And so, no, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with having to pay for somebody else's faults.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know,
we'll hear from the mayor coming up next.
Yes.
Mayor Tom Arsenault. He wants to...
hear from the horse's mouth.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Call the mayor a horse. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM.
Could 710. Have been a donkey.
710. No, that's the other side. 710 Keo.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
You sure you want to jump in this?
Sure.
I was having a lovely wine Wednesday last night, enjoying my cheese and my wine, and then I looked at my email, and I saw this 2% surcharge you've proposed on my water bill to pay for blighted properties in our community. First, let me let you explain why.
Well, we have the blighted properties that we're targeting are these apartment complexes where we continue to have fires and danger to the public as well as being eyesores. And they're very expensive to demolish. And we simply don't have the money in the general fund to demolish these buildings. And but several council members are interested in demolishing these buildings. So we just have to set a priority and determine if this is a priority that we'll need to provide the funds to pay for it.
So this is not like downtown buildings. This is specifically geared toward these apartment complexes, or is it blight overall in residential areas?
No. It is geared toward about 6 apartment complexes.
And will they be specifically named when this goes before the council?
Probably not, because I don't know that I could say that's the universe of apartment complexes that will need to be dealt with.
Okay. Would any properties downtown possibly be demolished with this funding?
I can't think of any, no.
Okay. Is this only temporary for 18 months on my bill?
Yeah, the whole point is that this creates the fund to do this demolition, and it'll have a sunset provision in it, and I plan to keep to that plan.
But you might not be reelected next year. What about the next mayor if he says, we're going to keep this on the books? Could that happen?
Then you can criticize the next mayor.
Right. That's not on you. Mayor, I had a question on the,
when does this go before the council, and do you think you have support?
I have called the council members primarily to advise them that this was going to be in the proposal. I didn't want this to be a surprise to them. I have not asked for their support yet, because there's a lot of details that have to be fleshed out between now and the time that we pass the budget.
Okay, I my train got re-railed. What about going to the property owners? I know it's a legal issue and it would be expensive, but can we not fine the property owners, or if they fail to maintain the property, can the city not take the property over Are there other avenues that we could pursue other than putting it on the taxpayers' burden?
We have pursued all the avenues. That's what we've been doing over the past several years. And we're behind mortgages on most of these. So, yes, we have the ability to place a lien on the properties, but that doesn't put us ahead of a mortgage. So if the property, if we foreclose on our lien and we've torn down the property is probably not worth what's owed on the mortgage, and therefore we'd be behind the mortgage holder and would not recover our dollars.
Mayor Arsenault, the one thing that I like about this proposal, and I don't like much, as you probably have heard already, is that you are proposing this heading into an election year. So it lets me know directly, this is not politics. This is something in your heart that you firmly believe in. That part of this I love, because no real politician would ever propose a fee increase or any kind of tax increase headed into an election year. It must be what is on your heart as to what is best for this city.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate the encouragement. The main thing that I think is important in this is a priority decision that really is going to be made by the city council. If we want to tear these buildings down, we have to find the dollars to do it, because otherwise we'll use all of our demolition dollars on these complexes and we won't be able to do the good things we've been doing in the good things that we have been doing in the neighborhoods. So we simply don't have the money to do that. So that is what we're doing, and that's what we're the council will still have to make a priority decision. If they want us to pursue the avenues we've been pursuing, which have not resulted in the demolition of these eyesores and dangers, then we won't pass the council will not pass on this. And if they do want to do that, then we'll have a temporary surcharge. And we chose a percentage as opposed to a flat dollar fee so that it could apply to all water bills and would be less regressive than a flat fee.
Okay, could it be used to tear down a dilapidated structure in Highland that's become a danger?
Well, what it would do, it would make sure that we had the money to do that, which we currently have funds to do, but we cannot do both of those things.
Okay. So instead of taking the money from your demolition fund to tear down the apartments, you can use those dollars for those needs in neighborhoods. I guess that's what I'm hearing.
Mayor, at one point you had possible somebody looking to purchase the properties on Centenary or the
I think that is still in play, and of course we're going to try and work with the lenders for these I think we've demolished one. So the three of these complexes are owned by the same delinquent owner, and they're not going to cooperate, and they are out of state, some cases out of the country. So we don't really have a means of collecting those dollars. So if we want to tear those buildings down, we'll have to tear them down at our expense.
Do you know the city's average water bill?
That was,
ma'am.
Yes.
Do you know the city's average water bill for the average resident?
No, I think this ends up being less than Tom Dark did some analysis of what that would cost, and it's for most people, for on the minimum, it's less than a dollar a month.
Why not pull this money out of your reserve fund to use for this?
Because we made a commitment for an 8% reserve. And that is appropriate when you're 64% dependent on sales tax for your operating budget.
So when is this going to be proposed, and when will this be on our bills?
It would start January 1st.
And it goes before the council at the next meeting? They start working on the budget? This is part of the budget.
No,
so
we'll have an ordinance. We'll have an ordinance prepared. There's a lot of details that will go into this. The budget has to be passed by December 15th, and that's what we would plan. That's the timing that we would plan on this proposal.
Okay, I thank you for being willing to jump on the air with us, because I was having major pibbing this morning. Major pibbing.
Well, I'm glad to have the opportunity to explain it. That's why I said I would be happy to talk to you on air.
I appreciate it.
I do have a quick question, Mayor. You said the properties wouldn't be named. Why not? Why not full disclosure and transparency on what the properties are and where they would be?
Because there may be some that we need to do during that time period that are not on the list right now.
There might be a new apartment complex that starts to deteriorate and starts to become a hassle.
Correct.
But you're pledging today this money that we're going to pay on our water bills would go toward demolishing dilapidated apartment complexes that are a danger.
Absolutely.
Okay. Clears that up.
It does clear it up.
I feel a little better.
Thank you so much.
I feel a little better.
It's not just a standard.
I'm glad your blood pressure is down.
Yes.
Well, but it did bring up a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Was this a standard blight, initiative tax as opposed to this? No, this is designed specifically for something.
Why am I cutting my neighbor's grass because they won't do it?
Right.
This
is different.
Yeah, the budget includes some increases for blight, but all that's within the current tax structure.
All right. Thanks for jumping on, Mayor.
Asking questions and getting them answered.
You bet.
That's what we're here for.
Super. Thank y'all very much.
Thanks.
Mayor, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Okay.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, see, there you go.
Calms me down a little bit. I did watch the MPC meeting yesterday, by the way. Metropolitan Planning Commission. They had a big meeting on the... right. You weren't watching? I thought it was must-see TV. It's not?
Sorry.
Ruben, you watch it? You missed it too? Golly, what's wrong with y'all?
I watched Caddyshack last night.
They voted on the gas station.
Unlike most people who get to work before 5 a.m., my day doesn't end when I leave here.
Yeah, I know.
I go to another job.
Mine either.
I know.
I watched it. Dozens of folks showed up to oppose a proposed gas station at the corner of...
Oh, so a lot of people did show up.
Oh, yeah. It was packed. Kings Highway and Mall St. Vincent Avenue. There are two homes on that southwest corner. Then there's a vacant lot. Then there's another home. This proposal was for 6 pieces of property on that stretch that the real estate developer came to town and explained what their proposal was and said, Murphy USA is a great company. We have LED lighting. The lighting won't bother the residents. I mean, he put it all out there. But the residents said, no. There's going to be trash. There's going to be, extra traffic. There's going to be crime. There's going to be late night hours.
Right.
He did say the convenience store wouldn't be open overnight, but the gas pumps would stay on. Because, you can go through those places now and buy your gas any hour. But he said the convenience store would only be open from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. But it was a no-brainer. It was a done deal. Even Victor Thomas, Caddo commissioner that represents the area, Gary Brooks, the city councilman, came out and opposed it. So they ended up voting 6-0 against the zoning change.
But there's not a C store in town, regardless of whether it's a Murphy USA or a Circle K, mm-hmm, or a soon-to-be 7-Eleven.
Yes.
That somebody's not hanging out, either behind the building, on mm-hmm the side of the building, in front of the building.
Yes.
The one right up here on Pines. I stop sometimes. I'm there at 4:30 in the morning to get gas.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody asleep right there.
Yeah. The guys at Orr on Burt Coons there and Kings that take care of my Bentley, I was going to leave there one day and go to the Circle K on Burt Coons and Uri. And they said, Toby told me, he goes, now be careful. Call me when you leave there. And I said, what? There's all kind of vagrants that hang out around that Circle K.
Right, right.
And I actually went in there yesterday, and there was a guy with a sign outside in the parking lot wanting my cash. And I'm like, golly, man, they're everywhere.
My daughter called me one day and she says, she got kind of scared when she lived in Dallas. She was pumping gas and the guy kind of approached her where she goes, I couldn't get to my gun. And I said, you're pumping gas, spray the son of a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Spray him down with gas.
Absolutely.
If you're actually in fear for your life or safety.
Mm-hmm. Now, we had talked about before this meeting that the either side could appeal, but in hearing from the developer, it doesn't look like he's going to appeal this decline. I mean, he knows. He sees the handwriting on the wall. It was a 6-0 decision. There's no way the council overturns that. You've got the council member representing that district there opposing
it. Well, and you've got public, dozens of members of the public that have shown up to oppose it.
Yeah, so
wouldn't be the way I would want to start a brand new business.
No, so he said he's moving on to a different, you know, to a different neighborhood. He did say, which is interesting, Murphy USA is kind of breaking away from Walmart. And so they're doing their own separate gas, standalone gas station convenience stores around town, and they have identified this market as a place for expansion. So they are expanding in the Shreveport-Bossier market. So you will see more, just these Murphy gas stations popping up.
I just saw one the other day, mm-hmm. I think in Bossier.
There's one on Airline, I believe, in Bossier.
Yeah, I stopped yesterday and filled up my bike.
Absolutely.
Because I like getting non-ethanol gas.
Ah, okay.
Do like that.
All right. Well, they voted no, said not going to happen.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO. KEO, Micah McCarty. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault proposing a 2% increase on water bills in Shreveport to fight blight. City Council Member Grayson Butcher joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grayson, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. How
I'm sorry,
y'all?
Grayson Butcher.
Oh,
I said it right.
Stop
said
that.
It wrong.
Yeah, please. Pronounce it properly.
I know. Well, other city council members call you Grayson Butcher, so that's what I had to say.
When I saw this, Grayson, when I saw this,
that I can't let go.
I got really pibbed up. Why am I paying for your house blight problem because you're a pig? Why do I have to pay for that?
So the mayor called all of us last week to kind of explain once the budget got to us. What exactly this was for. My reaction was very similar to yours, and I shared that with him. You know, I have gone back and forth with two mayors now, and this administration, to their defense, has been somewhat receptive to this about some type of fee on the water bill for public safety where we can get our firefighters and police officers a raise, where we don't keep losing them. And, you know, I am not for new taxes or taxation without representation. I was really, you know, back when we voted the trash fee, you know, I was very critical of that. But I always get told, no, we can't do that. Nobody would want that. And I'm like, you know, safety is number one in my mind. I mean, you can't have a city unless you have safety. And we've made strides. I mean, we've made great strides with what we have, you know, the crime statistics are showing, and these are real numbers, that crime is going down. But in order for us to continue to do that, our police officers need better pay. And really the only way to do that is to put some type of a public safety fee. And I've had a plan. I presented it to two mayors, two CAOs, and just has not gone anywhere. And I was a little shocked to see this 2% pop up, because my initial knee-jerk reaction was very similar to what you're saying. You know, we can't do it for public safety, but we're going to do it to take care of people who are coming here, pretty much robbing our citizens, taking our water, and then we're going to charge you and I to tear down their property. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make a whole bunch of sense. And I guess really retrospectively looking at it, when I said that, I got to thinking, well, we're going to be doing it anyway with our tax dollars. It just may be coming from a different pot. But regardless, I would prefer us go to the state, and I told the mayor this, go to the state legislature and try to get some laws changed where we could be in first position if let's just use, for example, we all know that the Hall of Dome went to Sheriff Sale. There's supposedly a new person that has purchased that.
Mm-hmm.
We could have been in first position over the mortgage company, but that would take a state law change, which could happen. I believe we have legislators here that understand our problems with blight, and in other cities, you know, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, they all have blight. So I think that could have been something that could happen and put us in first position, where we would have been able to, if we tore down a building similar to the Hall of Dome, we could have been in first position to get our money back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that.
So this 2% proposition has to go through the council. Does the mayor have the council support on this?
You know, I don't know. I've talked to a few other council members. The few that I have talked to, you know, this just hit us last week, and it's been kind of a busy week for me, so I've not really been in community, you know, off weeks. We've got a three-week break this time. I really don't talk to my colleagues that much. But I have talked to a couple, and the majority are not happy about it. You know, I just think that exactly what Aaron said, and you know, the mayor, I don't even really think the mayor is extremely happy about it. But he knows we've got to do something to get rid of the blight, and this is an easy fix. But, you know, the problem is we're maxed out on our revenue bonds, on our water. We still have consent decree that's looming over our head. We've got water issues going on in the city of Shreveport. And I can, you know, one council member told me, he goes, you know, look, how can I support this whenever I'm going to call after call about brown water or low water pressure? Or, you know, it's going to be a real hard sell for the council.
If you had to vote on it today, Grayson Butcher, are you a yes or no vote?
I'm a no.
You're a no right now. What would it take to convince you that this is a good idea?
I don't know if you can at this point. I think we ought to be, like I said, working with our state legislators to try to change state law where we can get in first position on most of these properties that are selling. Because look, that are being sold at foreclosure sale, which most of them have. The majority of these blighted properties have gone through the foreclosure sales.
And for those that are just tuning in, Grayson, it's important to note that this is just to address the apartment complexes that they've had issues with for several years now, including fires and indigents staying in these. It's not just a blight across the city.
Right, you're talking more about like the Pines Apartments, which used to be in my district on Vine Avenue, that we've had several fires.
Jolie,
Oak Meadows,
yeah.
Old Centenary, Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take Jolie. You know, in your neighborhood there, Aaron.
Yep.
That is a very valuable piece of property. So when it goes
to
sheriff
yeah.
sale for foreclosure, which it probably will if it has not already gone to sheriff sale, somebody's going to pay top dollar for that property. So if we have let's say it cost us $100,000 to tear down those apartments, I mean, and haul it off. We put a lien on it for $100,000. Now, the problem is, you know, the mortgage company is going to take their money first.
Sure.
But for somebody to be able to get that property, if we could be in first position as opposed, and right now the state law does not allow it, because that is the first question I asked the mayor. You know, could we get into first position? And he said it would take a legislative change.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we need to be focusing our energies on that and finding the money to take care of these, because rightfully so, the council members that these properties are in, they're the ones getting the calls daily about rats and snakes and vagrants
sure.
and homeless people and all that. So we need to get them down. I'm just not quite sure charging me what my water bill, my wife told me yesterday, was like $175 this month.
Mm-hmm.
And 2% is not a huge amount, but at some point down the road, and it does have a sunset clause on it, the mayor said, once we get all this taken care of, it falls off.
Does that really happen, though, in government? Does that really happen?
No, absolutely not.
We're going to renew this because we have this come up now.
Yes, we have another apartment complex we need to fix.
I've got people that off of North Ferry Road that have about 40 pounds of pressure under what they're supposed to have. How do I go to those people and say, hey, I voted for a 2% raise on your water bill?
Yeah.
That's why I've held
when
off.
You can't get water.
You know, and, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Before I leave the city council, my goal is to get public safety a raise. That is my goal. That's They need it. They have to have it for us to be able to fight crime. We talk about the National Guard coming. We talk about this. The reason we're down on officers is because they're leaving us to go somewhere else. Originally it was because of pay and the working conditions. Well, we've been able with bond issues to help with the working conditions. Now we're getting to the point of where it's just the pay, and we're going to have to do something. And, you know, I may at some point come to the taxpayers and say, hey, look, here's my proposal. We need $5 a month in a public safety fee on your water bill to be able to support that. And, you know, I may be run out of town. You know, it's getting close to Halloween. I may be like Frankenstein that run me out of town.
Good luck passing that next year in an election year. I'm just saying.
I don't think.
Yeah, that's the problem. You got several council members running for reelection.
You do. But I, you know, that is the only thing on a water bill at this point, Aaron, that I can support. I cannot support this because we're taking our good money and giving it to bad actors, and I just can't do it.
Grayson Butcher, Shreveport council member, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Y'all have a good morning.
And so if you missed it earlier, Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault did address this very issue with us. Hear what he had to say in about 20 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm changing gears.
All right.
Just real quick. We talked earlier this week about the NFL announcing Bad Bunny as the Super Bowl halftime entertainment.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Frankly, honestly, I don't care. I don't watch a football game for the halftime show anyway. I haven't watched a Super Bowl halftime show in years.
See, I love the halftime shows. I usually do.
I don't. I it's just not for me.
I like to see the big spectacles.
I don't care.
I know.
I mean, I'm not mad about it. Just don't care.
This one I probably won't watch.
Yeah.
Unless they add some collabs that draw me to it, but yeah, doesn't sound like it.
Well, there is a company released kind of a survey. States, based on social media reactions and interactions, excitement about the Bad Bunny announcement. And where was Louisiana in the rankings?
Who?
On states being excited about Bad Bunny.
Oh, we're not high on that.
Or positive.
We're not high on that.
So where would you think?
I think we're at 40.
40?
We're the 40th.
Okay. Ruben, what would you think? Where would Louisiana be on positivity for the announcement of Bad Bunny?
I'll go 39.
All right. $1, Bob, I bet $1.
I would punch that person in the nose if they bid $1 different. On Price is Right, if you did that to me and you beat me, I'm punching you. At the next commercial break, you're getting punched. Sorry.
Okay, well, the number one state was Nebraska.
Okay.
Really?
Bad Bunny, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Okay. Who knew?
40, the 10 weren't included because there just wasn't enough data.
Okay.
Montana.
All right.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah, right. So does that make you rethink your answer?
Montana's at the bottom of the list?
Montana's at the bottom of the list, followed by New Mexico. Louisiana ranked 6th.
We're excited about it.
Okay. We are the 6th most positive, excited state about Bad Bunny performing the Super Bowl halftime show.
Does he have Louisiana connections at all?
Don't know.
I'm not sure, but maybe. I mean, I don't know.
I didn't even know who Bad Bunny was until all this
started happening. Ruben.
I had heard Bad Bunny said, but I thought it was a band. I didn't know it was a guy. I didn't know, didn't care.
Right.
It makes us sound really old, doesn't it?
And going into the top five, Arkansas. Reaction.
These are red states.
Colorado.
Okay. I get that one.
Number 3, Alabama.
What?
Most excited. Number 2, Kansas. These Midwestern states.
What the? And Nebraska was at the top.
And Nebraska, number 1. positive responses about Bad Bunny.
All right, Ruben, name three Bad Bunny songs.
Three?
Little Bunny Foo Foo, Little Rabbit in the Woods.
Hopping through the forest, yeah. Here comes Peter Cottontail.
Here comes Peter Cottontail. Yeah, that's three. Yeah. Yeah,
that's his hit.
Those are Bad Bunny songs.
Here comes Peter. Yeah, okay. Oh, now I'm going to have to watch. Does he really wear a skirt? Is that... Or that lies.
I don't know.
Oh, no. I've seen pictures on the internet, so they're it must accurate. Be true.
Yeah. Okay. He likes to wear skirts.
No such
Whatever.
Thing as AI. Again, you know what?
Unbelievable.
Whatever.
Unbelievable.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shreveport
Mayor Tom Arsenault addressed our concerns and answered our questions about the 2% blight initiative on the water bill. Hear what he had to say here in about 10 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Okay, real quick, we do have Mayor Arsenault coming up, but Ruben just gave us a VCR update. He's on a quest to get a video cassette, a working VCR.
Yeah, I got a call yesterday from a pawn shop. Hey, we found one in the back, and it turned out it was their security camera, one from 100 years ago, and it didn't work.
Well, that means that thing had been running, you know,
constantly
12, 24
years,
hours a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recording security footage.
Right. Yeah. So I'm...
This baffles me that you can't...
I can't find one. I don't want to order one online. And if I have to, I will. $40 is my limit. My absolute limit on what I'm willing to spend. So I'm still scouring the Goodwills in town. I'm going to all the pawn shops. None of the pawn shops have one. Why would they take one at this point?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so any secondhand stores I've been hitting up. I have a collection of about 50 tapes now.
That's so funny.
Wow.
Varying from, you know, classic movies. I've got the Beverly Hillbillies collection.
Oh my gosh.
I've got Abbott and Costello, just all kinds of stuff. And no VCR to play it on.
Well, okay, that's my mission. I'm going to help you find one, an affordable one that works.
Yeah, right.
That works.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, he defends and explains his proposed 2% water bill increase to fight blight right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Commissioner of Insurance Tim Temple joining us. Commissioner, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
We are doing well, and you?
Oh, hey, it's so far so good, but the day's young.
Okay, how much progress have you made since we last spoke about getting our insurance rates a little lower and getting more companies in town?
Well, you know, it is a process, and Aaron, I'd like to say that, you know, I have all this magic of power and authority, but it is a free market, and I am working with carriers trying to make sure that they acknowledge the hard work that was done, the good work that was done over this past legislative session with regards to auto insurance. I think we're going to start seeing a little progress there, but it's still early. But we're going to keep pushing, and I have high expectations that we're going to see some good results of that. But it's still early. I can tell you, and I'm sure that, you know, your folks are just as concerned with the government shutdown on how it impacts the NFIP program, the National Flood Insurance Program. That is very concerning right now to a lot of citizens in Louisiana, particularly because as of the effective with the shutdown, there are no new flood policies being written and no renewals being done on existing flood policies.
Whoa. Oh, okay. So that is a problem.
I think it's a major problem. And we're still 2 months, 2 months to go before we get out of what's, you know, referred to as hurricane season. So, that's a very big concern I have. I hope the federal government can figure out a solution to their to the impasse that they're at and start funding up again. But not only start funding and do a solution, but do a long-term solution. You know, Aaron,
right.
This is the 34 times that they have not addressed the issue of sustainability with the NFIP. They keep, it's, you know, kicking the can down the road is the popular phrase to use. And, you know, they don't address the problems with it. They just keep doing these temporary funding measures, and it's not really serving, it's not in the best interest of the people not to, to address this problem.
Why do you think it's not a top priority for the lawmakers?
Well, because it's a very complex issue. And it, you know, look, it's like you've heard me say on your program before with regards to insurance reform. You know, I think we need to have a special session to create some long-term, some lasting changes to our legal system in Louisiana. And that requires getting legislators to get in there and really focus on it. And I think the best way to do it is with a special session. I think the same with this, with the flood program. You know, it's 50 years, I guess it's been about 50 years in existence, and it's heavily subsidized. And a lot of people just got that. We've got to figure out how to make it work going forward. And it's just, it's not an easy solution, but it takes a lot of effort and focus. And I just don't think that the folks have been willing to just roll up their sleeves and figure out a solution. But they are starting to have conversations. I was in Washington, D.C. 2 days ago at the FEMA Review Council, and we started a dialogue about, what is the long-term solution for the NFIP. So at least they're having conversations that, you know, they invited myself and several other state insurance regulators to come to the table and start a dialogue on how we can all come together. And I think that was a good step. You know, if you want to fix it, you got to have all the right people in the room, and regulators are part of the group that need to be at the table talking.
Speaking of talking, you and the governor, you want a special session. I've heard some lawmakers say that we need that for insurance. Do you and the governor talk about it? What is his response to the call for a possible special session on insurance?
I haven't had the opportunity to ask him that question. Maybe you can ask him that question when you get him on your program.
Okay.
Look, we need to. We've done some reform. I don't want to take away from the good work that has been done, and I think that we are going to see the positive impacts of that. I know that because the legislation that was proposed and that was passed, specific to auto insurance, was well thought out, well intended, and it will eventually have the desired impact that we want. But look, if we get a little win out of that, if we start to see insurance companies credit and give us, premium reductions as a result of that, I don't think that's enough. People say when you're winning, who wants to stop winning? Mm-hmm. And if we can demonstrate that this reform had some positive impact, some reduction of premiums, I don't think anybody's going to say, okay, that's enough, stop doing it. So, you know, we can either have a special session and really get into all of this stuff, or we can just piecemeal it every single legislative session. And look, if that's the will of the leadership, then I'm going to go along and I'll play by those rules, and we'll keep pushing for reform every opportunity we get. But I mean, this is a crushing problem for our citizens, for families, and look, for businesses in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the auto side. I haven't even addressed the commercial trucking side. I mean,
right.
Aaron, I talked to somebody the other day that they were telling me they it was an insurance agent that had been called by a person doing business in Arkansas, and they wanted to relocate some trucks to Louisiana. To move their trucks, right, to domicile them in Louisiana and start doing some business because we're seeing some economic, you know, programs starting in North Louisiana. Their insurance on their vehicles, it was a sand and gravel. They haul dirt and rocks and a lot of stuff that you need when you're, you know, building buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to more than double just by having their trucks in Louisiana versus Arkansas.
Right.
It's embarrassing.
You know, as I say, if we want rates, if we want premiums like Arkansas or Mississippi has, then we need to have laws similar to what Arkansas and Mississippi has.
Let me ask you this, Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner. You said we've made some reforms, and I wrote down when you said that, I said, are we halfway there? How far along are, what is still out there? If you had to say, here's how far we've come, how far have we come?
Well, look, part of it, again, is when people start saying, hey, I'm comfortable with when we start seeing premiums come in line more with our neighboring states, I think that's when we're there, if you will. Mm-hmm. So there are things, you know, this past session, they addressed a portion of medical transparency. And we talked a little bit about that on your program. You know, that when if you sue somebody as a result of a car wreck and you have medical treatment, you know, the billed versus paid. We talked about that. It was referred to as collateral source in years past. We did. The legislature was able to pass some good law now that they're doing away with the billed versus paid. You can show what was billed and paid. Mm-hmm. And then that way you don't get this phantom recovery, if you
right.
will.
Gotcha.
But they didn't address the private pay. If you don't use your health care insurance and you seek private pay, that's still not subject to disclosure to the judge or jury knowing about that stuff. So there's still some work to be done there. This past session, there was a bill introduced talking about general damage caps, like Mississippi has. I don't know if that's one that Louisiana is ready to go and do or not, but I think we need to have a conversation around that. It never even got heard in committee. So we need to, you know, we need to talk about that. Again, I don't know. There's other laws that touch that that would be impacted, and that's a complex solution to part of this problem. But we need to have dialogue and see if the people of Louisiana want to go that route. So, Aaron, I mean, there's a lot of there's things that still need to be done. And look, every year, you know, these other states, their legislatures are going in session and they continue to tweak and refine, you know, their environment. So we can't just do a little bit and stop.
Because if
we stop, we get further behind. We've got to constantly push for reform.
Gotcha.
All right, Tim Temple, Commissioner of Insurance, we thank you for jumping on with us.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. Look forward to it again soon.
All right. Look,
if you've got questions on the flood program, go to the website, ldi.la.gov. We've got some good guidance there for people to help them navigate this issue, or call us anytime and we can help.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel. If anybody ever doubts whether we're live.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just a little scheduling conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
There's more to this 2% surcharge. We will be talking more about it in the next few days. And if you missed our conversation with the mayor from earlier this morning, we will replay that tomorrow morning in the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
So. And you can always listen to it on the podcast, which will drop here after 9 o'clock. Download the Keel app and you can play it on there and listen to the whole.
Yeah, it's radio on demand.
Mm-hmm.
And you can basically sell it whatever day.
You can pick any day.
I don't know how far it goes back, but they
goes
go back.
It goes back a minute.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It does go back
if
a minute.
You missed
so
a show.
They
you
keep
missed
us forever
a lot.
So they can change our voices later and use us again. I don't know. They'll keep us around for 100 years, probably. Who knows?
All right. Revel this weekend.
Yes, and you're going to a show tonight too, right?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, my son, my wife gave our son, well, we gave him tickets to go see Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
He's going to be here in town, and my son texted or called me earlier this week and goes, hey, I got covered at the restaurant. You want to go?
Oh, cool.
I said, sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we're going to go.
Does he have a band? Does Billy Bob Thornton have a band?
He does have a band.
So that's what's going to, it's not a comedy show or anything like that.
No.
It's a music show.
I don't think Billy Bob Thornton is a very funny person.
No, he's not. So is it a rock band?
He's kind of a weird duck. Ruben, how would you describe, because I actually, honestly, I had to look it up on YouTube to see what I'm in for.
Yeah, Billy Bob and the Boxmasters.
Yep, that's who's going to be here.
I've seen him before. It's kind of country-ish kind of old school rock and roll-ish.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah, not offensive, just some good old, kind of just good old rock.
Well, good. And your son's a fan.
Yeah, I think he's a huge Billy Bob fan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, that'll be fun.
And he and I do go back to the old Sling Blade.
Oh, yeah.
You got any biscuits up in there?
That's a pretty good
on
movie.
Them biscuits.
That's a pretty good movie. That's a
it's a
good
fantastic movie.
It really
incredible.
Is.
And he directed the movie.
Yeah.
In character, by the way.
Oh, it's crazy.
And I remember some years after he was talking about he still had gotten migraines from staying in that character for so long.
Oh, having to squunch your face up like that for hours and hours at a time. That's
ain't no gas in it.
How old is that movie? 30 years old?
Oh,
it's
God.
It's gotta be, yeah.
I guess it would be, wouldn't it?
Wow.
And when we went to go visit Micah in Florida, we watched the whole first season of Landman.
What a great show.
Golly.
What a great show. I haven't seen the next season yet.
I don't think they haven't released
it
yet. I think January.
Oh, it's gonna be great. I'm excited about it. We've got some big stars coming back again. So, I mean, it's got Demi Moore. It's got a lot of folks in it.
It's an incredible cast.
It really is. It's an incredible show. Well, it'll be fun tomorrow night. You'll have some fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
You will.
No, we will. I will have fun. My son's coming in, so we'll have a good time.
Y'all go out to dinner first or
probably.
After or whatever?
Okay. I'm hoping. I haven't talked to him about the time frame yet.
We'll have fun.
So we'll
be here tomorrow,
looking
though.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, we'll be here in the morning. Mm-hmm. I've got a busy schedule tomorrow.
You bet.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. And download that free Kiel app. Listen to the podcast.